Well, hello.
Hello.
Oh.
Happy birthday,
years,
Steve.
I know. My goodness. 5, yeah. We're just starting school now, aren't we?
Yes. We've been through the terrible twos.
Yeah. We're donning our shorts and caps and off to school we go. We don't need no education.
So,
yeah, I can't believe it.
Five years of time on radio.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How did we do that, Stephen?
By not going out on a Saturday night for 5 years in a row. Apart from the third one. We've come all this way from humble blog talk beginnings to having our very own website, which we should really announce to the world that we're coming to you from type1radio.com.
Coming in your ears. I've been looking back at how many shows that we've done over the last 5 years, for the lounge particularly, we must have done like well over 300, maybe 350 shows. Including sort of like the midweek shows where we get guests on. That's quite a number of hours of fun that we've been having.
Well, how many is that? 600 hours? On average, 2 hours ago. Yeah. Spoke to some people, and we even spoke to Hollywood royalty. Well, Hollywood.
I've just started watching Secrets and Lies with Dan Fogler. I'm assuming that's who you're talking about. And And Juliet Lewis. It's really good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Juliet Lewis. She's been in some mad things, hasn't she?
Yeah, and interestingly enough, Dan Fogler plays like a stoner guy.
No typecast there, then.
but I haven't seen his Apple Bong yet.
What, in that? Or the other? I still haven't seen the Don Peyote yet. I've seen the one version of it, which is kind of rubbish. But I've yet to view the whole thing.
I think it's on.
It's been on
Netflix. I think it's on Netflix.
I think I've got a Vimeo pass to it that Freeman sent.
Right. Okay.
Time because I talked to Freeman about it. He's going, "Oh, you're not seeing it here. Have this. Take this link." And it's like but where the fuck that's gone, I'll never know.
And, a big up to Freeman. Because if it wasn't for that chap, all this wouldn't exist.
We should have him on, really. And say hi, but I'm sure he's busy. I listened to a really good thing with David Plate, and funny enough, weren't we talking about David Plate last week?
Yeah.
Was one of my favourite shows.
With the Zach Bauer.
That's the Metatron Hour or something it's called.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. And luckily, just through Google Plus, I can go straight to the second hour as well, so that's all good. I've still got that in place at least. So it was good. I went and listened to the whole thing last Sunday, I think. It was very enjoyable.
David. Freeman's sort of expanded the network now, hasn't he?
Is that the thing we were invited on to?
Yeah, I think maybe that was what Jamie was probably talking about at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I think Mark Devlin's doing a show on there. And Corinne, she's doing a show. Can't remember. Corinne Wilson, maybe her name is. Yeah, so
yeah, it was good.
I think that's to maybe give Freeman like a couple of weeks off in the month.
Right.
Because whilst those shows are on, he hasn't done a show. So I think his last show was, maybe about 3 weeks ago. Which is a cracker. He was on that one.
Mm. Well, he's done another one with Joe Atwell since, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Which is quite good. There's a, I'd like to point people in the direction of Joe's. Well, I don't know if it's his latest one or not, but it's one he done on the British Invasion. You should listen to that. That's really good. And just his, he's got a new book coming out on. It's like a modern version of Caesar's Messiah. On
British Invasion in a sixties counterculture.
Yeah. Not military, but the Beatles and the Kinks, etc. They all went over to America.
Well,
it's funny.
John Coleman goes into funny, all that in Committee of 300. But I'm sure Joe will be expanding all that.
yeah. Joe is quite in depth, as you can imagine. I should probably have it somewhere. Yeah.
I've been listening to. The new Anthony Peake interview
with
Mysterious Universe. So hopefully we'll pin him down for an interview.
I've seen that he's interested, at least, and he'll get dialogue going. So yes, it'd be nice to speak to Mr. Peake for sure. The one I was just on is called Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll, Joe Atwell on Woodstock, Beatlemania and the British Invasion. You can find that on YouTube if you just type that in. It's very good, very good.
And so is it tying in with Dave McGowan's material?
Yeah, kind of, but it's more to do with... he goes into sort of a bit of depth about some of the Beatles songs, well, which is really interesting. Like "I Am the Walrus" is basically it's a Marxist song, based on the Alice in Wonderland thing, but the walrus and the carpenter that sort of trick all the little oysters into coming to dinner. So they're the dinner. Well, that's a sort of analogy on communism, just sort of devouring all people sort of thing, and then realising they can't devour anyone else because they've devoured everybody. It's quite a fucking... It's a brilliant analogy of it. And the lyrics are sort of taken straight from this sort of, like, old communist song. It's quite bizarre, really. You should listen to it. It's fucking excellent.
And I suppose that... also ties in with that the Pied Piper, children's story, because the from what I can remember of the walrus in that you were just talking about, the like the cartoon, the sort of Alice in Wonderland thing, that is the way that the Pied Piper handled, getting all the kids. And then that sort of syncs with the way that we're using Russell Brand. He was being a Pied Piper sort of linked through to like Marxism himself, wasn't he, really?
I mean, well, the only difference with the Pied Piper being he was sort of a he was kind of done out of his money by the townsfolk, wasn't he, for catching all the rats, and so he was sort of doing it as a revenge thing. They were just being idiot fucking psychopaths eating everything in the path, not thinking about what was going to go on. I highly recommend this thing. You can get it on YouTube.
That reminds me, this week there's a new is it like a documentary film about the Beatles just come out?
Yeah.
Or 8 days a week?
Eight days a week, correct, yep.
And and Paul and Ringo were on the telly, sort of at the premiere, and I thought it was quite interesting that they were chatting and they were sort of mentioning how good it was to be playing with the people that they played with, in the band, and and then Ringo said, and then there's us two.
I've never seen that. Well done. Well, yeah, Ringo's sort of dropped a few clangers a few times, hasn't he?
Saying,
I'm the only original Beatle left. He said that. Yeah, I know. I thought of that when, because I've been watching quite a few Jan and Joe stuff sort of lately to do with this, and it was funny because he said like a while he's going, they just roll out every few years. There'll be another Beatles film, and there'll be another, another sort of episode in it. And then on the mainstream, they're always saying, "Oh God, isn't it amazing? We're still talking about the Beatles after all this time, and how amazing it is." And yeah, the more the merrier, sort of thing. It's just like confirming what they're saying. About they're just going to keep the fucking grindstone going. I mean, my God, is it new footage that's been found? Because it's Ron Howard that's made it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Happy days.
It's probably. I think it's all to do with the live concerts.
Yeah, so, it's around the world, isn't it?
Yeah. So I remember seeing sort of early footage of them when they were still in the suits. Sort of pre-fall, and then like Hollywood Bowl and stuff like that. Was that one of their last gigs? Wasn't it around this time of year? Epstein said quit, and he said that the Beatles wouldn't play anymore. I'm sure it was around September. Could even be September the 11th.
Could it be? There is a few 9/11 things with the Beatles actually, so it could well be. But I would have to go on Google double sharp to confirm or deny that. But I'm sure you're right. Yeah, it was around this time, 66.
Yeah.
Because didn't Tina Foster, who's one, and also another brilliant guest from the past, she said that he actually performed some of the US tour, and some it was fall.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that one at the Hollywood Bowl was particularly bad. It's like the worst sort of one of that gig, and they all dismiss it as being the tired and all the rest of it.
But you probably couldn't hear how bad they were playing, because weren't all the everybody just screaming, so it sort of drowned out the the concert, which maybe that's what the screaming was used for.
Well, there's I know the Shea Stadium concert, there's been there was a tape found of a recording from the desk, which bypasses all the ambient crowd noise sort of thing, and that was remastered a few years ago, because that's fucking brilliant. That's really good, because that's probably Paul, because that was one of the first sort of big ones they've done in the States, wasn't it? That wasn't part of that last tour.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, quite mad. Another sort of like little I don't know if it's a sink or not, but it's definitely. I read this article today about Danger Mouse. You remember him?
What, the DJ Danger Mouse or the producer, Danger Mouse?
Yeah. not
like so
not Rodney.
The guy that Nas Barkley.
Yeah, and he did the Gorillaz and all that sort of thing. One of his first sort of big hit, or how he came to be what famous was?
Yeah,
he made an album called.
The Grey Album. We mixed
Jay-Z
and the White Album. It's fucking great.
Have you heard it?
Yeah, I heard it years ago.
Yeah, I've never managed to lay my ears on it yet. But I read this great big sort of article today on a sort of a forum. I was just looking through some of the acapellas for you, this site I'm on. They send you like acapellas, and it was sort of like saying how that was the first foray into the mashup, which became the mashup sort of thing, you know, mixing two sort of two unrelated genres together sort of thing, and how, you know, that is a bit of a fucking like no-go area anymore. Everyone's like going, nah, that's too, because it's really easy to do it these days with Ableton and what have you, the software. Yeah. The same that, but that album was like a benchmark, and the way they'd done it was just fucking amazing. You know, they were basically releasing DJ only copies of a cappella rap albums in the 90s, the late 90s. And he, like, they only made about, like 10,000 Jay-Z Black albums, just a cappella with no music on it, no beats on it or nothing. And he begged the guy for two of them who were releasing it, sort of thing. And he got them, and then he just said to his mate, he said, like, I'm gonna disappear for like 3 or 4 days, you won't see me. And he came back, he did the album in like 4 days. He just came back and went, wow, listen to this. Yeah, I've never heard it, so I couldn't really say it. I've always wanted to.
Yeah, it is absolutely wicked. It was almost like they were made for each other. It is.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, you mentioned David Blake before, the way that he does the soundtrack and the film. Danger Mouse is with the Grey album there. He did it with two albums. They just synced up perfectly.
Yeah. It's really funny because he got the company that he gave it to or something like that, they did this thing called Grey Tuesday, where they put it online for a day, for an hour or for a couple of hours, because they got like letters from EMI saying if you fucking dare release this, you're gonna get, you know, because
I remember downloading it, I think, on Grey Tuesday.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. Well, there was 200,000. It was one of the first digital downloads you could do, sort of thing, and it was before, they'd done it before the server got sort of chopped down, sort of thing, because EMI got word of it, obviously, and sort of put a stop to it as soon as they could. But the really funny thing is that the sort of, he was approached to do Gorillaz on the strength of that album, and Gorillaz are on Parlophone, which was the Beatles' fucking label, wasn't it? Although it would have been Apple by then, but it was certainly through Parlophone they were licensed to do Apple. So it was quite a really good article, actually. It was quite.
It was on LimeWire. So do you remember what LimeWire?
Yeah, I remember LimeWire. I remember it fucking my computer up.
Yeah,
just borrows into your hard drive, doesn't it? And goes right, rip. Yeah, I mean, I suppose I could do a. Surely somebody's put it on fucking YouTube. But have you still got it then?
If I have, it'll be on my old computer, which is in Worthing at the moment. I lent it to a friend, and then he moved in. He moved to Worthing, and instead of bringing it back to me, he took it to Worthing with him. So it's in his loft at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, no, I hear it. It's online. It's on YouTube.
Yeah. Like, that's the beauty of YouTube.
Yep. Good old YouTube.
So, as this is the fifth birthday, something that started on the same day as us, that petered out rather fast, as quick as it came, it was gone, was the Occupy movement, Wall Street. that PSYOP started by the Lucis Trust and the UN.
Yeah.
Just turned five. Is the Sync Book?
Sync Book, yeah. Yeah, 9/11. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
They started on 9/11, which is a good one. Yeah, good luck to all those guys over at thesyncbook.com. Is it syncbook.com?
Thesyncbook.com.
Yeah, good luck to you guys over there.
Well,
I was just trying to think what else has sort of like happened in 5 years. I mean, I'm sure there's been loads, but certainly at the moment, all we can sort of report on is a load of infighting.
We've met a fair few. We've literally met, not just talked to on the show. We've literally met quite a few interesting characters over that 5 years, haven't we? That have come to stay with you at the Lounge HQ.
At the kitchen.
At the kitchen. The kitchen.
I've lost that thingy, so obviously when I changed my computer, I forgot to get my images off the other one to do things, but c'est la vie. it's been a mad old 5 years for sure.
We briefly met Santos when he came to town.
I forgot about that. That was a laugh, wasn't it? All he wanted to do was get away from his handlers and his controllers and come with us and smoke dope, but he never managed it, did he?
No. And it was really interesting how it totally looked like he was being handled there.
Totally was. No, we're going to eat now, Santos. Oh, okay. Yeah, that guy's a weirdo, isn't he?
Who's Santos? Yeah.
Oh, no, the guy who's...
Ray?
Yeah, was it Ray his name was?
Yeah.
He was well strange.
He used to be a copper.
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, does he own that big house then?
Yeah, that's where Dave was staying, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was a breatharian. And I think that's where, when our friend of Freeman, Brett.
Bert. Brett? Oh, yeah, Brett. Why did someone see us, the fucker?
He was staying there at Alfriston. But I think he was he was just properly loved up, because I think he's his wife now is she's from England somewhere, and so when he was over, he was just like just in the romance mode, I think. and now they're married. They got married in Hawaii, I think, a few years ago. So yeah, good luck.
Hawaii.
Yeah. Well, I think it might have. I'm sure. Yeah, because remember when him and what was he called? The guy that started from Friends of Freeman. Involved Observer.
Is he called Brandon as well?
Brandon, yes.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
Him and Brett went to Hawaii, didn't they?
To meet
Nassim Harriman and gave him some. Have they been to see Randy Powell or someone like that? That had like done the raiding coil.
Yeah.
And they were.
Yeah, the rodent. Yeah. Yeah, they went with that guy as well, didn't they? And they gave him one. They gave Nassim Harriman one.
Yeah.
A coil that is.
So he probably met a load of people yeah, we knew a load of people in Hawaii, and that's how he was able to go and get married there.
Nice. Yeah, I'd like to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, and particularly now because they've legalized pot. What is the fucking... I don't know what... Has the population of Hawaii just, like, increased, like, tenfold since then? Everyone's every US is trying to get a citizenship or a residency in Hawaii.
Residency, yeah, really. I mean, it's pretty been... It's always been pretty tolerated in Hawaii, I've heard. I know a few people who've been there and who've got friends that go there. So I was actually trying to tell Ken O'Keefe that, because didn't his mother have a diving school where you could go and dive with turtles over there in Hawaii?
Well, that was his, and his mum was running it for him. I don't know whether he's still got it now, since his mum's died. But
yeah, I don't know. I think so. I think he's got a... Well, that's what Max was alluding to. He had a load of cash from inheritance from that, or from his mum, sort of thing. And all. It's all a wee bit murky, that world, isn't it?
Yeah. It put up a new, some new explanations for his actions. Yeah. He was putting up like the expenses sheet of what he'd spent.
Here's an expensive sheet I've just typed up about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's £12 if you want a copy.
Yeah. It's $5 for a pen, $60 for some paper, $600 for like lunch one day. Yeah. Good one, Ken.
So today, guess what today is, Steve? Apart from being our fifth birthday, what? How random is this? Guess today is Batman Day.
Batman Day.
Batman Day. Starting in.
Well, you never let me guess.
Oh, sorry.
Is it Batman Day?
Yeah.
Started
in 2013 by DC Comics. So right. Yeah.
Any reason is this the day that they came up with the idea of Batman, or
I don't know. They just maybe the first edition had come out. Let's have a look. I did get the story, but yeah. The story seemed to just be about choosing your favourite Batman rather than...
17th of December. Annual celebration of the Dark Knight when Batman Day hits September 17th. Join the fun in Batman events around the country. And actually, it's just great discount deals. It's a fucking selling, it's a corporate thing. Just give us more money for Batman.
Yeah.
You haven't already.
have you seen Batman versus Superman yet?
No, I have not. Actually.
Yeah, I missed that.
I haven't seen the last I haven't seen the last Nolan one either.
What was the last Dark Knight Rises?
I've seen that one. And I've seen Batman Begins. He done a third one with Christian Bale, didn't he?
Well, Christian Bale was Batman. Yeah, three. Yeah, he did three. So,
I know.
So the last one was the one where the Aurora shooting happened. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how Ben Affleck got that gig.
Yeah,
they're fucking scraping the barrel with that, aren't they? I think maybe that's why it passed me by, because he's got Ben Affleck in it.
Well, Ben Affleck's got the contract to do the DC Universe ones, isn't he? Oh yeah, it's Batman Begins, Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises. The Dark Knight Rises being the last.
Yeah, because that's the one with Tom Hardy as the baddie, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Well, like I said, I haven't seen the last one. The Batman Begins, but The Dark Knight's fucking amazing though. It's one of the best films I think I've ever seen.
It's quite. That's the one with Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger, yeah, yeah. I mean, Firechick watched it. It was on telly a month ago, and she started watching it and she couldn't believe how fucking gruesome it was. She just remembers the last one being more of a kid-friendly one. The, what'd you call it? The Tim Burton ones, which were pony. Compared to these ones, anyway. Yeah, I was quite impressed by old Nolan's efforts on that. The first one's good as well, the Batman Begins. When he goes to the Himalayas and starts tripping. Liam Neeson, yeah, is at the top of the monastery, isn't he? An Irish ninja. Fucking... Yeah, an Irish
He never really changes his accent or just does a really shit American accent, doesn't he?
Yeah, kind of a Sean Connery, isn't he?
And he's been so typecast now, hasn't he? As like a security guard killer. I went to watch David Brent the other week.
Oh God, is it as bad as it looks?
It's really quite sad, as in you sort of feel for David Brent, which is bizarre.
It's what? Say that again.
It's quite bizarre that you sort of feel really sorry for him.
Yeah.
Because he's like buys. His band, he has to pay them to come on the tour with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he sort of hires this tour bus, and they all get on it, and then he sort of parks up, and he's like, "Yay!" He gets on, and then you just see him getting off and saying, "Oh, it's too small to have us all on, so I'm just going to follow in my car." And then he has to pay them to go out for a beer with him.
Yeah. I actually saw the trailer when I went and I took Jen to see Suicide Squad in the summer because she was too young to get into it. I had to take her sort of thing. And it was on a trailer then. I just thought, what the fuck? It was the first time I'd heard about it. I thought, what? He's really... I thought he was scraping the barrel then, but I suppose it might have been a bit funny. Not for me, thank you.
It's not like laugh out loud funny at all. It's not like as funny as The Office, but it's just...
Let's just take the piss out of the guy who's rubbing.
Yeah. I don't think he needed to make it.
No.
But he's. And what I also found was that David Brent was turning into Derek.
All right. Yeah,
David Brent was had. Yeah.
Well, he's another one. He's another one. He's just the same in everything he does, isn't he? Even like the night in the museum and all that, he's just David Brent.
I think Derek's probably the best thing that he's done, though.
Right. I haven't seen that. I've seen a bit of extras, and I've seen most of The Office. So, retrospectively. So I don't think I watched. I'm not really a TV person, sort of thing. Don't really keep up with the kids, so to speak. I never really have done, apart from the odd thing. But yeah.
I think we watched Derek on streaming.
Yeah.
But that's the best out of The Office extras. I don't really like extras that much, and Derek's the because he plays it spot on. He plays like this slight learning disability guy, just absolutely fucking spot on.
did he do that for a living then?
I think maybe his brother or someone in his family's got Lynch's parties.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I remember hearing bits and bobs about it when it came out, sort of thing, and he was doing it in a sort of caring way.
Yeah.
You know, take piss out of disabled people in a caring way, if you can do that. Have you been watching any of the Paralympics?
I've got it on now whilst I've.
Oh, really?
The sound.
It's quite funny because the tennis guy, you know, the guy that won Wimbledon, I think we mentioned this around Wimbledon time. Do you recall? The people who won the double silver on the wheelchair tennis, and the same two have been competing in the singles final against each other, and the guy who doesn't live next to Fychik's parents in Norfolk won it, sort of thing. This guy Alfie Hewitson, I think his name is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they won Wimbledon, and then they came second in Rio, and then he's won a silver. So it's like fucking wow, wicked. But
Excellent. Well, brilliant.
But in the last job I had, when I used to do disabled bathrooms and what have you, sort of thing, I actually met three Paralympians, which is quite amazing. And I cannot for the life of me think what this guy won a medal in Seoul when the Olympics were out in Seoul. And yeah. I can't remember if it was archery or it was something like that, because he was in a wheelchair. And it's cerebral palsy as well, you know, just severe sort of thing. But this guy, he was fucking incredible, this guy. He's actually the patron of like, you know, when you go and watch sport, he campaigns to get wheelchair access in stadiums and what have you, sort of thing. He's actually a patron of the thing. He's a fucking incredible bloke. But he won a bronze in Seoul, and then I think the next Olympics after that was Sydney, and he came fifth, which meant he lost his funding to go to what would have been Athens, and then he would have been too old to come to London, sort of thing. And his mum was telling me all this thing that it's really fucking, like, you know, they're really tight with who they give the money to, sort of thing, you know, and who they fund and who they don't. And you've got to have, you know, results. You've got to have, sort of, you know, credence in the sport, sort of thing, which means you've got to kind of have some kind of money of your own to start off with. You know, you can't just pick up a tennis bat or, you know, pick up a javelin, sort of thing. And I met this the other Olympian I met was his partner, was his friend. And he'd been out, he'd done something as well. I think he was a wheelchair racer or something like that, but he didn't win his races, so he never got asked to go again, sort of thing. Then the third guy I met had went for trials and doing the javelin. He was in a wheelchair. He was injured by a tree, fell on him. He was a lumberjack, and he got fucking his spinal injury from this fucking tree falling on him, sort of thing. And he was kind of researching all sorts of ways, because he kept falling out his chair, you know, obviously, because you're fucking throwing something, and obviously the form of motion's gonna be, can't be easy. And so he researched and got himself this harness thing, which meant he could, like, it was almost like a seatbelt harness thing, which meant he could stay in his chair, he'd throw the javelin, and he went for the trials, threw a big fucking huge throw. And then this woman disqualified him because he wasn't allowed to wear this harness. He went fucking mental out of sort of thing. And then about 18 months later, they allowed these harnesses to be used, and by then, of course, it was too late, sort of thing. And you're saying he was saying that he had to spend a lot of money. He didn't get any help. You know, it was volunteers and sort of, you know, mates that were helping him get his equipment and get to the trials and get to training and what have you, something. So you've actually got to step up to the mark quite a lot before you even get considered for any kind of, you know, funding. So it's been fire checking. I was just saying, well, it just seems like it's a fucking business, because once you are an Olympian, you've got something to sell then, haven't you? You've got some kind of brand behind you that you can go out and sort of raise money and raise awareness for the Olympic fucking movement. So I think I was just saying how, you know, a little dark side to the Paralympics that's sort of going on now. So, but I think we discussed why it's pretty fucking, it's been pretty piss poor supported in Brazil. Because the Brazilians.
I'm looking at the swimming stadium now, and it's not really that full.
No, no. Well, Brazil, you know, Brazil, there's a lot of people in Brazil, and then there's a lot of poverty sort of thing. They probably don't care about people with disabled, you know, disabilities, like sort of like the way an affluent place like here is, would do. So it's probably got a lot to do with it. Like, well,
this, just in Rio alone, is it's just surrounded by shanty towns, isn't it? And I'm sure none of them are like in Australia, like in South Africa, when the World Cup did they have they did have an Olympics in South Africa as well, didn't they?
No, I don't think.
Or maybe I'm thinking of the World Cup then.
No, they had the World Cup South Africa 2012.
The money doesn't necessarily go into communities.
Does it?
Does it?
Because it's infrastructure and the main thing.
And it's I'm sure the countries probably have to pay to apply to be an Olympic city, you know, or their bid. So, you know, the Olympic chair people, the money's coming into that pot. And then you have like Olympic funds from the government going to to the Olympic committees, and then being indebted. You know, quite a lot of these countries are now indebted massively because of them having to have all these stadiums up to the same standard. You know, probably the Olympics has had a lot to do with how Greece just went tits up, because it was owing so much money to the banks to pay for the loans that it took out to create all the Olympic stadiums.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about that. Yeah, totally. I think it had a lot to do with their sort of pension, the way their pension thing was run as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite.
well, everybody was just retiring really early, weren't they? And, right,
45 or what? Yeah. I know, I would have done it. Yeah. Right. Was it, you got 95% of your final wage, final salary or something like that? Yeah. That was your pension. Wicked. Yeah, so I mean, the Olympics are just brand, and I'm sure it's used in all sorts of covert ways as well to do shit. I mean, I'm surprised it was remember there was a load of shit over here with Rick Clay and all that sort of same thing. I was surprised that nobody sort of done anything on Rio. They obviously sort of didn't see anything that great about it.
Maybe just the focus points have changed. Whereas when Rick was putting that stuff out, he was bringing, he was linking, you know, various information that may not have been linked before, and so that's sort of in the consciousness almost, isn't it? So
yeah.
It doesn't necessarily need to be highlighted again. You know, it's like Freeman's corporate logos, because he's put that out there. People see it, and they don't necessarily need to highlight it again.
It's part of the breakdown.
Also as like alternative media trends have moved and maybe like got lost in rabbit holes such as the flat earth. I saw that there is a new movie coming out called The Flat Earth about this Amish community, this lad's like sort of, you know, starting when he was little, how he sort of brought up into you know, it being taught that the earth's flat. How interested that a film like that has come out at this juncture.
That's very interesting. That is. Fucking hell. Well, it kind of gives credence to the CIA being involved then, doesn't it? There's movies coming out about it.
yeah. Totally. And whether or not that's, the chicken and the egg, or the CIA chicken and the CIA egg, whichever came first, well, the Earth is supposed to be sort of egg-shaped, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a proper globe.
Yep. It's not a sphere, yeah, it's an ovum. I taught that in way, way back in elementary school.
It's got a middle-aged spread.
Yeah.
Not got
one too many birthday cakes.
Yeah. As the planet slowly turns into documentary Idiocracy, it's slowly getting like an obese belly. Soon the planet will be diabetic.
Fucking probably already is. It's funny.
But the Earth is a self propelling object and being in its own right, and the natural balance always occurs, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the Georgia Guidestone natural balance. Not the 500,000 humans.
The Georgia Guidestones were right. Remember that one, God Revolves the Fearless?
Yeah.
I'm sure we played Fire Chick and I did the birthday show last year on our own, didn't we? And we played as a scam, we played the first Where were you?
I was at my sister's wedding.
Right. Oh yeah, I'm in Scotland, yeah, that's right, with your kilt on.
I was just up in Manchester, but it was I was wearing my kilt. I was the gay Gordon.
The
Gordon kilt.
God, right. Sort of breaking news here. They sort of unlighten the tone. An Iranian paracyclist has just died in a plane crash in Rio. Fuck.
Really?
Right now. Yeah, that's not good. 35 minutes ago. Shit.
So, just before we round up this hour of the show and play that David Bowie tune. Do you want to play that?
You're gonna leave? Yeah, I can do. I'll leave it to the end.
So we could have a birthday tune then. We could.
Yeah. Haven't you got maybe this time around you can be Jesus. What's his name?
Timothy Leary.
Timothy Leary.
The i360 had broken down 3 or 4 times this week.
Yeah. It's not good, is it?
It's going into winter. Do you think it's going to be closed during the winter?
I fucking think it might be. Oh, there'll be one person on it who thinks it's great. Yeah, and it'll be like two bob a ride, won't it? That's 10G for our American.
There's a nice coffee restauranty place down underneath it all, and a couple of weeks ago we went for a brew there, and it was mm-hmm. that really really windy weekend. There was no beach. The sea was that high. and there were still people. There were still people going up it. And the waiter said, "Have you been up?" I was like, "Not on a day like today." And he said, "Oh yeah, I went up a couple of days ago, and it was swaying. I was shitting myself." He said.
Oh, that's no fun, is it? So what shit have you got?
I've just loaded. It's Tripping with Timothy Leary. Let me see what this sounds like.
No stems, no seeds. That you don't need. Acapulco Gold is.
Bad as weed.
Cut.
Yeah, maybe not that one. I don't think that was on. I think that I got that off YouTube. We have. I tell you what, we could play because last week, unfortunately, I changed the audio settings for the. The thing that I play the music through, and only on listening back to the show did I realise that there was no music on last week's show.
I told you that. I was listening to the play and there was no... Okay. Did you edit some in?
No. it's been a busy week. So as we didn't play... Charlie Pound, we could play that.
Okay. Sounds good. So after we hear Charlie Pound, don't forget to refresh your browser and listen to part two of the 5th birthday party Type 1 Radio Lounge news bong. See you after Charlie Pound.
Sense to me, all those cars in a as Judy would. Before you accuse someone, you better make damn sure you know what was done. Seismic impact so small. I know that something's wrong. 8 seconds, the North Tower's gone. I'd tell you if I could, but you need to ask Judy Wood. Before you accuse someone, you better make sure you know how it was done.
Dust in midair.